Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We have Phil TV and HD going right now. That is a live-streaming video cast of our show. With a backstage pass, you can watch that. You can get our podcast tomorrow. You can listen to our live stream for free. It's not live. It's our stream that we make available to you guys the following day, and it's free. But if you want to get the podcast, you get a BSP and you get all kinds of multiple hours of great entertainment. PhilHendryShow.com. And our shop is open. We've got a couple of items that are going to be coming in here for the summer months. We will be talking tonight, if we do have time, we'll be talking tonight about the L.A. school district that has been hit with these multiple charges of child molestation. It's just beyond belief. And we'll have, if we do have time, we'll have Glenn Gladell, who is an attorney, to talk with us about that. We'll have one of our regulars, a contributor, frequent contributor, very popular contributor on our show here in a moment, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And we're going to talk with Ms. Dooley and her husband, Steve, about the rights of immigrant workers arrived in this country, working in this country, who are here legally, and what their rights are, what the pitfalls are, what they're still facing. You know, it's interesting, Ms. Dooley, I was watching TV here just a moment ago, and I saw Joe Arpaio. It's the show, I forget the name of the show.
I know it. It's the Police Women of Maricopa County.
Well, the Sheriff Women.
Yeah, that's it. It's Police Women or Female Officers of Maricopa County.
Yeah, we know the show, yeah.
And I was looking, I have to tell you, Joe Arpaio has been up front and center with the immigrant fight there in Arizona. But this had nothing to do with immigrants. He was arresting deadbeat dads, you know.
Well, I'm not a big fan of his. I would love to be able to say that I support his efforts at arresting deadbeat fathers. I will say that that's the one thing that he's gotten right, but what he has done with immigrants, Phil, I just...
You're not in agreement at all?
No, I'm not.
Well, tell me what you're up against here, because I know that you and your husband got involved in this for personal reasons.
You want
to... Oh,
well, Phil, my husband, Steve, is a very successful, a wildly successful landscape architect, and we were planning a little bit of a barbecue for himself and for some of the guys that work with him. I have had a young woman working for me for about 6 months named Veronica. She was on her way here yesterday.
Now, she does what?
Well, she's basically a domestic. And by that, I mean she does cleaning. She can do some cooking. She was going to assist in preparing for this party that we had scheduled for Saturday afternoon. As I mentioned to you, she was traveling here yesterday with her sister. They were pulled over by a Los Angeles County sheriff. They both had California-issued ID cards. The sheriff who pulled them over, the sheriff deputy who pulled them over, asked for the driver's license of Veronica's sister, the young lady. But what is Veronica's sister's name? I don't know.
Bertie or Bertha?
Bertie? Bertha? Bertie. And so they asked Bertie for her driver's license, and she handed the police officer her ID. And Veronica handed the ID to the police officer.
Did she have a driver's license?
Well, hold on for a minute, because I'm getting to the point of what I'm trying to say to you. I was expecting Veronica. Her sister has work here in the neighborhood as well. The police officer detained the sister, would not release them, and apparently placed the sister into some kind of custody, I think. Veronica was not able to make it here yesterday. She had to get a ride that would only take her back to her home. And this was the result of an overzealous detective or sheriff or member of the sheriff's department arresting a young woman who clearly had identification.
Well, she did not have a driver's license.
Well, Ms. Rennery, a driver's license is a good faith effort.
My husband believes, Phil, that a driver's license, the ID is a good faith effort toward the driver's license. Steve was telling me, and he also believes in, and wants me to express to you that when you consider the number of people in America that don't know how to drive, who are born and raised here, who drive terribly, to ask this young woman who gave the police officer an ID card.
But it was not a driver's license.
But my husband believes, Phil, and what the point that I want to make, the ID card for an immigrant from either Mexico, Central America, or South America is a good faith effort toward showing that they want to get the driver's license. They have not yet gotten the driver's license.
But because they have not yet gotten the driver's license, they therefore are still not legal, regardless of the good faith effort.
Well, Steve was saying, Phil, to me earlier, and wanted me to communicate to you the following thing. And as I said earlier, while the ID is not a driver's license, people who are born and raised in the United States, people born and raised in the state of California or anywhere else, they don't drive any better than the average immigrant from Mexico. So it's a good faith effort to have that ID to say...
Well, why not just go all the way and get the driver's license? Are you saying that...
To say that they need to get... Well, this is my point, Phil. And it's Steve's point. To say that they need to get the driver's license is essentially telling them to go an extra step beyond what the average American has to go through. Because the average American only needs to get the driver's license even though they don't even know how to drive.
Well, that isn't true. You know.
Well, it is true, Mr. Henry, but a lot of him on the road.
Well, my husband believes that there is... The average American may go through a driver test, he may go through a written test, but the evidence out there on the highways is very clear. People don't know how to drive. And to enforce some driving ability on an immigrant that the average American does not have is unconstitutional. And my husband believes that is really at the crux here.
Well, what happened, Bobby, what you're telling me is... You had a woman that works for you, does domestic work for you. She didn't make it to work because her sister was stopped and, I guess, taken into custody for not having a driver's license?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And that's going to happen, even if you have a suspended license. Suspended license, no license. But
it's going to happen to people who don't have a driver's license, but she had her ID.
Gentlemen, you understand, Mr. Henry, they had their legal ID, issued ID in the state of California, the ID.
All right, but I mean, there's nothing that says an immigrant who has just landed here in the United States only needs to have an ID to drive a car, right?
Well, we think that the spirit of the law, and Steve believes the spirit of the law, is yes.
Yeah, well, I think they only need that.
Why?
Because
because that ID represents a good faith effort toward a driver's license. Look, these are people that we rely on, and as I tried to say at the very beginning here, this was a girl that was on her way over to our home to help me with a function that we were planning this weekend unfortunately now I'm going to be hard-pressed to find someone, and I'll literally... I guess have to walk up and down the street and knock on doors to see if I can use whoever day labor they've got or whatever they got, because this girl worked for me. And
yeah, her sister is stopped by the cops. She doesn't have a driver's license. Now I hear what you're saying. You know, the ID that they got is a good faith effort at getting a driver's license.
That is correct. And my husband also believed, but one more thing. That ID is equal to a driver's license for a regular American.
That's right.
Because a regular American really doesn't do much to get a driver's license. They don't.
Well, now, hold on for just a minute.
They don't. Well, my husband believes that even if they take a driver's test, they take a written test. The evidence is out there on the road every day. People can't drive.
Wait, okay, but you can't say that they don't learn how to drive because you're right. I had to take a driving test. Okay. And
well, Mr. Henry, have you taken a driving test then?
Have you taken a driving test since then?
I can't remember. I took a driving test. I've had a driver's license in Florida, in California. The only other driving test besides a California driving test I took was a Florida driving test because I think my license had expired by the time I got to Florida. So I took a driving test there, one. I took a driving test as a kid here, and the rest has been...
You renew by mail.
Exactly.
Right. So you could, your driving skills could have eroded immensely. But no one is testing for that. In the meantime, a young woman that I need for a party that we are holding for a business that is my husband's and is very, very important to, obviously, our well-being and the happiness of our home, I am not going to be able to have it the way I want to have it because even though they had the ID...
But that's good enough driver's license.
Which is as good as a driver's license. They were... Veronica's sister was taken into custody.
You guys are advocating that a ID should be all that's required of an immigrant here in the United States.
That my husband believes that here, when they first arrive, yes, the only thing you need is that legal ID. That will be your driver's license, your legal ID. In some instances, it can act as a credit card or some kind of a debit card where... if you could use that for a California repository of money where immigrants can go and use it as a debit card to draw money from either a state or a federal bank.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, you're telling me now that someone comes to the country, they have an ID card, and they use it also as a credit card, and they don't need a driver's license.
No, because you're not hearing, Mr. Henry.
No, you really need to hear this. You really have to just stop and hear it. They don't need the driver's license because most Americans don't really know how to drive.
That's the most important thing.
All right, we're going to get back. Bobby, Steve, hang on for me, please.
Of course.
Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And basically, the point they're laying out here is that people who are recently arrived immigrants, like in her case, a domestic who's from Mexico, they don't need a driver's license. Just an ID is sufficient. A young lady that works for her got arrested by the police because she didn't have a driver's license. This ID should also be a credit card for them. It can also be a driver's license, but it should be all-encompassing and... apparently, according to her, these people got arrested for no reason. Your thoughts on this? I know what I think. You got to have a driver's license. You got to have a driver's license. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have Bobby and Steve Dooley, frequent contributors to our program, on the line. We're talking tonight about the rights of immigrants. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley are at the forefront of a group of people that want to recraft the laws as they pertain to immigrant workers. Now, this was a young lady that you had working for you. Does she still work for you?
Well, I can't keep her employed if she's not able to get to our home. And she was using her sister's transportation. Her sister is now scared to death of driving, which means now those are two young women who are out of the work pool. And those are two young women that a couple of... I know one of the... one of my girlfriends who relies very heavily on Bertie's work, and Veronica's been with me for 6 months. What we want to see, Phil, is simply this. It doesn't have to be, it does not have to be a large trauma, I think, for law enforcement or for our lawmakers simply state the ID, if it is held by a Mexican, a Central American, or a South American, is sufficient as a driver's license. Again, the ID, if it is held by Mexicans, Central Americans, or South Americans, is perfectly fine as a driver's license. And that way, I would not be faced with what I'm faced with. And my husband has been at the forefront of this for a long time.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. The ID is sufficient as a driver's license for people from Mexico, Central America, and South America. Let's talk to James here on the Phil Henry Show. James, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Just want to comment on this. I am a police officer. A driver's license is required to drive a motor vehicle upon a roadway. And a lot of people think that just because they have a driver's license that they have a right to drive. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And people have to earn that privilege, and they got to do what's legal on the road to keep that privilege. We suspend drivers all the time for DUI, et cetera, et cetera. These immigrants want to come into our country legally. Great. It sounds like this is a legal immigrant here. Why should we have a different standard for this person who's trying to be a U.S. citizen than we do for any other U.S. citizen? An ID.
Well, it's a good faith effort.
An ID card is not a good faith effort. Driver's license is not a good faith effort.
James, you're a police officer. You're a police officer, and you see how Americans drive. Americans drive horribly.
Yeah,
and so why should a Mexican have to drive better?
Submitting your name and information to get an ID card, a piece of paper or a piece of plastic that says this is who I am, is not a good effort towards saying I can drive. It's not a good.
Well, no, I don't think the officer understands me, Phil. I'm saying to you, if you can listen to me, I'm saying.
I have. You keep interrupting.
That
me,
if, the Mexican,
saying,
if the Mexican, if
the
Mexican, I've listened to you, officer. You know, you must be really used to telling, just talking at people. And I know you have a badge, but why don't you listen?
Let's not be rude, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I think he's not hearing me. I'm saying, I know that it's illegal. What we're trying to do is make it an absolutely legal piece of identification. If you pull over only Mexicans and they have this ID, then it's good for a driver's license. Now, you say it's not. I know that. We would like to make it so. And the average American with a driver's license, they can't drive any further than the White Castle.
Yeah, that's the thing.
All right. James, comment?
Sure. Good faith effort. An ID card is a good faith effort towards having a driver's license. It's not the same application process. It is not a good faith effort towards getting a driver's license. Matter of fact, some people, once they lose their driver's privileges, choose to get an ID card because their driver's license has been taken away from them. They have no ability to get another driver's license. That ID card has nothing to do with a driver's license. It simply identifies the person from a state.
Okay.
Well, you're giving a lot of political opinions for a police officer, isn't that?
What's wrong with that?
I would rather he just not.
Are you allowed to do that?
Okay, yes, he is. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Maybe they're not, and maybe that's why a lot of police officers don't like us to say where they are working. Here is, or what agency they work for. Here's Cody, but I think they ought to be allowed to speak. Cody, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you for having me, Phil. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs.
Yes, sir.
Dooley. I've been listening for quite some time, and I don't understand why you're already doing the condescending before I even stated my
already? Question. What do you mean already?
The condescending that you did to the officer.
Right.
Just called. Let me just share my opinion, and you can agree with it or disagree with it, but let's have a conversation.
Whatever.
Okay, my point is similar to that of the officers, which is if somebody's going to enter the country, this is a melting pot. I invite anyone, but I don't understand how you equate an ID with the ability to drive. Yes, Americans are terrible drivers. I spend a lot of time on the road. I'm with you on that 100%. No question.
Exactly.
But there has
to be some
type of test that everyone has to take in order to make sure that everyone is capable of knowing the laws and following them. And like the outside,
that's not a good faith effort.
What about the good faith effort? What about the good
faith effort? Is great and a lot of things, maybe for payment for a credit card, so you don't get shut off. But not something that society as a whole views as something necessary.
Mm-hmm.
A good litmus test of what type of driver you're going to be when you go into a registry and you take an exam. Most states, or a lot of states, also have drive is education, mm-hmm. courses that are mandatory. Mm-hmm. You need to take a written.
Okay, listen, we got to take a break, Cody. That's very good. Very, very good call, and I appreciate it very much. And he broke that down, you know, pretty well.
What he's missing, Phil, and what a lot of your callers are missing, these are Mexican immigrants who are, we need in our workforce, and what we're trying to do is get them legal and get them to their places of work. And in this short term, oh my,
Phil, hold on.
Henry.
Oh my God.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us as we talk about immigrant rights, as you and your husband have described this, Bobby, and that is domestic workers, I guess any kind of worker.
Mostly domestic, Phil, because these are the people that we rely on a daily basis, I think, more heavily than any other of the immigrants. And we have to get them to our homes and to our schools and to our places of business, wherever they may be working. This is a practical problem that I had. And my husband feels, given the fact that this was a very important function, this was going to be a function for his job, that this young woman that was going to work for us is suddenly not able to get here because her sister, who had an ID card, a legal ID card.
But not a driver's license. And this is the, and I hear what you're saying. The driver's license is a moot point because most Americans can't drive.
Well, my husband believes that because if you go out on the roads and you see how bad the driving is, how can we in good conscience, how can we, in morally, really, how can we have the moral high road and demand that Mexicans get a driving lesson or a driving test when we ourselves don't know how to drive? And my husband believes that the fairest thing to do is to just have them get this ID card and call it a wash.
Just call it a wash because they're going to be a lot better off.
All right. Hold on. 877-876-7445. Calling it a wash means just letting them use their ID as a driver's license. And, you know, this is all a matter of opinion as to whether or not Americans are good drivers or bad drivers or whatever. Here is David. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm a professional truck driver. I've been driving for 20 years. And you're wanting to put immigrants on the highway jeopardize my life and your life?
Not to jeopardize your life.
Yeah,
people
are
already jeopardizing your life.
No, because you yourself, lady, are on
hours.
An identification card is an ID card. Leave it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to make something that's not.
But a driver's license should mean that you know how to drive.
They do not have the rights of American citizens.
Mm-hmm. Well, a driver's license should mean you know how to drive, and it doesn't in the United States.
Yeah, driver's license, most people drive like crap.
Yeah, okay, they drive like crap. Okay, I drive 8,000-pound vehicles up and down the highway every day. All right.
Yes, if you drive like crap, you probably kill people. You drive. I'm not saying you do drive like crap. You probably drive good, but you got to deal with a lot of people who do drive crap.
But
if you're driving a vehicle,
I have to be defensive and but down here around the border, these people do not know what they're doing. They can kill somebody, go back across the border, and be scot-free. All right? And you're wanting
I don't think it's likely. Well, but, David, I don't think it's likely someone's going to come across the border to try to get work in America, and the first thing they're going to want to do is run someone over. More likely, they're going to drive as safely as they can to get to where they're going.
Yeah, they're going.
And then they get pulled over.
10 times slower than everybody else. And
well, you know, would you rather them go really? I don't know what they're doing. All I know is there are Americans with driver's licenses that are breaking the speed limit, that are driving their motorcycles dangerously, that are tailgating. You've seen them. You're in a truck. You have to control that truck, and someone cuts you off. So, and those are Americans.
But what you're saying, therefore, because Americans drive crappy, Mexicans shouldn't have to get driver's licenses.
Talk about fair play.
It's fair play for Mexico.
Fair play for Mexico.
Yes.
They are Mexicans. They are coming over here to take home work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Y'all are putting them to work, and y'all are putting them to work, and they are sitting there coming over here and saying, why don't you hire an American to do your job instead of a Mexican?
Well, because Americans are, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but Americans are.
They're lazy.
They're a lot lazier.
The lazier, huh? Are you sure it's...
They're absolutely... You hire an American, and more than like the American is going to sit there, you'd swear that they were Mexicans, because they're sitting under a tree, and they're eating, and they're singing.
Americans?
Yes.
Yeah, you hire an American, I'd see them sit under a tree and sing.
You almost live with silver spoons in your mouth all your life. Because the way you see the world is totally wrong.
Well, what do you mean totally wrong? I hire an American, and they sit under a tree and play a harmonica, and I've got to kick them in the rear end and get them going. A lot of cattle drive trash. You get these guys right off the trail, the Sedalia Trail. So what we're trying to do is just get, all I wanted was some domestic help for a party. I hired a couple of very hardworking girls. They had a legal ID. The sheriff arrested her anyway. And meanwhile, there's an American out there that's driving and killing and killing and driving, and I don't know.
A lot of Americans just drive the way they want to do.
There's an old saying, there's the way it is and there's the way it ought to be, and you guys are talking about the way it ought to be, which I understand, but the way that it is something that we're going to have to deal with sooner or later. Listen, David, I appreciate your call very much. Our number, 877-876-7445. Here is another David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
You heard my point, right?
I did hear your point, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing
I made a point, David, about...
I think...
To the new David?
I made my point because I've been listening to
your
point.
Well, yes, I just want to... Are you the new David?
He's the new David, yes.
So go ahead. I got to tell you, I have driven cars illegally in the past, and I learned my lesson. I learned to do things the right way. I know for one thing, a good safe effort would be to get a driver's permit.
Mm-hmm.
Get that from just taking a written test. You don't even have to take a driving test.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've been in the construction industry, and I may be a little jealous at times, but I'll have to admit, 90% of the Mexicans and the Hispanics that I have met are very hardworking and put a lot of Americans to shame.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is, that would be unfair to all the other immigrants. What about all the other immigrants? You're saying to just do this for Mexicans?
What it is a checklist. There has to be a.
I think they should at least get a permit, a driver's permit. That is a good safe effort.
I would agree with that.
I've been pulled over
for Europeans. You're right. I would agree with that for Europeans. But the Mexicans, we've got to get in here and get settled. And the reason, you asked me the reason what we want is a checklist. We want a, in terms of desirability, I guess, and I shouldn't say that, but...
it's been a long time since we've had desirability for immigrants, but we feel the most desirable immigrant right now has got to be the Mexican. And then you go
a lot of Hispanic people are hardworking. Not just Mexicans. A lot of the Hispanic people they have to improve themselves. They're sending money back to their families. And I can't blame any human being trying to improve their
lives. But that's what we're saying. We're saying Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans, particularly South Americans from Tierra del Fuego, from the further southern areas.
I'm unemployed right now, and I mean...
That's
hard. It's hard to do. Yeah, a lot of Mexican people are taking, a lot of construction jobs, but I still...
But that's my point. If we didn't have these Americans sitting under trees and playing their guitar...
All right, we're talking over each other.
Americans do.
Good point, David.
But again, Phil, I think Americans need to work. But if I've got a Mexican who's willing to work a little bit through his lunch hour, and I have an American who cannot wait to get a harmonica out or get a banjo out or whatever they're doing.
You've got this sort of
the Mexican guy and make him work through his lunch hour when he has a right to have that lunch hour too. Because it sounds like
if he wants to get into my good graces, I mean, I'm going to likely want to keep him working, and the American can go down the road. You know?
You're going to fire the American because the American simply took his lunch break. That's you know. All right, David, thank you for your call.
What are you talking about?
You're going to fire the American because he simply took his lunch break. The Mexican is going to get the work because he worked 15 minutes more.
There's something about a man who sits under a tree playing a harmonica that I think is insulting to another man that's working.
All right. Thank you, David, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What is that? I don't understand what that is when you say that is there's something about a man that sits under a tree playing a harmonica that's insulting.
Well, the guy sitting there playing a harmonica.
You know, my husband feels, Phil, that when a man's working hard and another man is sitting and he's playing a kazoo or whatever he's doing, it's almost as if he's saying, ha ha, to you, you're working, ha ha. And that I will not abide.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Should we just allow Mexican, Central American, and South American workers to have an ID that is sufficient for a driver's license? They don't need to get a driver's license, simply the ID, because it wouldn't be fair to ask them to get a driver's license when most Americans don't know how to drive. Here is Keith on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, Phil. I just listened to this. I can't believe the comments. You know, you want to exclude a whole segment of our population that works hard to get a driver's license and mm-hmm. abide by the laws, and mm-hmm. allow one section to have an ID, a state ID, mm-hmm. and say, "Oh, that's good for a driver's license." That's mm-hmm. about the most racist comment you can make.
Well, no, that's not racist, because we're talking about nationalities.
You want to exclude everybody else.
If it's racist, what about Mexican-Americans? I'm not talking about them.
Well, yes, you're excluding them. You're being racist to them, too. I mean, hardworking Americans.
How am I being racist to them but not racist to the other Mexicans?
Because you're
that's
saying
not racism.
A good, hardworking American-Mexican has a driver's license.
Yes.
And you're saying, okay, these immigrants from South America, they don't need one because they're here, they want to work, and everything else. So we should just exclude all laws for them and give them an ID and say that's good for everything. That's
only
wrong.
Because my husband believes that most Americans don't know how to drive.
Yeah, most Americans drive crappy anyway.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. You want to circumvent mm-hmm. laws to exclude the rest of society to help one small segment of society? That's wrong.
Well, we already do it when it comes to, and I can certainly understand the thinking behind, for instance, we don't allow gays to marry. So there are segments of society that do not get rights. And
wait a second here. Segments of society that don't get rights, you're saying all of society.
Well, no, I'm simply saying that everyone in America can have their driver's license. It doesn't mean you know how to drive, but if you want to get yours, that's fine.
But
a Mexican being held to the...
That comes here
mm-hmm.
from somewhere else, no mm-hmm. driver's license, mm-hmm. and they should be exempt from
uh-huh.
everybody else. You're saying, you're from South America, you don't need a driver's license. That's wrong.
Exactly, because
I'm,
if you look at... If we take you...
License.
Well, Keith, I know, but if we look at the way you drive... And then we look at the way a Mexican drives. Is there a difference? I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, maybe there's no difference, but why does he not have to have a driver's license and I do?
Because he drives just as good as you.
Because he drives, my husband said, because he drives just as good as you.
Well, still, but
well,
I
so
have
what
a
if
driver's
he...
license and they don't have to have one? Why is that?
Exactly.
Why is they better than me?
Because it's racist to ask them to go through a series of tests that Americans go through and they still can't drive.
Well,
so I don't understand that.
They don't need to take that step. They don't need to take that step. I have to take it.
Yeah, my husband, you took it.
Driver's license.
Yeah, you took it, and you still drive like a Mexican, is what you're saying. So what we're saying is they...
So
I'm sorry?
It doesn't matter. Okay, if I drive like a Mexican or I drive like whoever, I have to have that driver's license. If I don't have it, I can't even have a job.
But we're saying there was no need for you to get that driver's license because you don't drive good anyway. So
you're
why not just go with the ID?
I've been driving.
You just said you drive like a Mexican.
I don't know how I drive.
You said you drive like a Mexican, right?
I thought you guys said Mexicans drive okay. See, that's where we're getting hung up on a lot of semantical stuff. But essentially what I think you're saying is Americans don't drive well. They got driver's licenses, and it still doesn't guarantee that they drive well. So why force Mexicans?
Exactly.
Because Americans have to. And that is this gentleman's point. Americans, Keith is saying, we may not drive well, we may drive well, but we still have to get that driver's license.
No, but we don't drive.
No, we don't drive well.
Well, you know, you say we don't drive well. Keith doesn't drive well. You say he drives like a Mexican. And I thought you said they drive just as, I don't know. Keith, thank you for your call. I'm going to take a break,
Phil.
Here.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. You too. 877-876-PHIL. Should illegal immigrants, take it back. Should legal immigrants, should all they need to drive a car be their ID? They don't need to get a driver's license, just the ID, because the ID is a good faith effort at getting a driver's license. And besides, Americans have driver's licenses and don't drive well at all. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. That's 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I apologize to my Phil TV viewers. We had that last segment muted. That is a technical problem that we're still working on. However, we should be fine. On the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we are talking about...
Okay, if I could interrupt you, when you say muted, were we not on the air?
Well, no, we were on the air. We were on the air. Our video cast... Unfortunately, we had the audio muted for technical reasons that we're still trying to get a workaround for. All right. Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us as we talk about the rights of legal immigrants to drive. And the feeling is all they need is, quite frankly, a ID, not a driver's license. Okay, Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hello?
Jamie?
Yeah, my name is
okay.
Jamie. How you doing?
Yeah, I just had a woman on the air by the name of Jamie.
Oh, okay. My name is Jesse. How you doing, Phil?
She's your wife, Is she your wife? I guess he didn't hear me. Let's move on to another phone call. It should be fantastic. Here is Rob on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Phil. Yes, I just want to say, first of all, I wasn't even sure if these people were real callers or some kind of setup. Because
yeah.
I can't believe they're advocating something like this. I mean, the thing is, their opinion is that they're a bad driver.
Where do you live?
In California.
Well, I do, too, and I can't imagine. I don't know if you live in California, then you understand we have millions of legal immigrants here that need to get to work.
What's that got to do with that? What's that got to do with anything? They can take the test like the rest of us. I've been in countries like Vietnam, Turkey, Puerto Rico, and several other third world countries. If you think the U.S. has bad drivers, those countries make look like the Demolition Derby and bumper cars, lady.
I don't live in Turkey. I live in
the point is that your opinion about a few bad drivers is what you're
not a few
for people who don't have any idea about the rules of the road in our country and just give them a driver's license just for the heck of it. Well, why not do this? Why not have their ID be equal to a doctorate in medicine and just make them doctors too? Heck,
because it isn't. It is equal to driving, but it's not equal to a doctorate.
Your idea.
It's equal to driving. It's not equal to brain surgery. If it was equal to brain surgery, I'd say yeah.
Let them. Logic.
Unfortunately, do you have a driver's license?
Yes,
you do.
Yes,
I know you do, but that doesn't mean that you're capable of brain surgery. I would never let you do brain surgery. I'd have to kill you first if you attempted brain surgery. Do you understand what I just said?
The absurd.
If you tried to attempt brain surgery, Rob, I'd have to drop you.
That's why I made the absurd point.
If you tried brain surgery, I'd drop you. So you didn't make a good point.
Well, wait. What do you mean you drop him? Tell you what, why don't you hang on? Rob, I tell you what, hang on, Rob, because we didn't give you enough time. Hang on. And we'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we'll be back with this discussion of immigrant rights, immigrant labor rights. Should their ID suffice as a driver's license, since driver's licenses are held by Americans and we don't drive any better than Mexicans do? That's what Bobby and Steve Dooley are saying here. I have to tell you, the tone of that right there sounds racist. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Just kidding. Phil Henry Show.
What?
Phil Henry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about actually something that occurred this week, which was that a domestic worker of theirs, a legal immigrant, was stopped because her sister was driving the car, and her sister was found not to have the driver's license. Neither woman had a driver's license. They had legal state IDs. And Bobby, you've heard, and Steve is there as well, I've heard you saying that your husband feels, you speaking for him?
I'm speaking for my husband, yes, but I do share his feelings on this. It was, after all, a function that was to be for Steve's co-workers and his employees. That was, we were not able to hold this event because my employee was not here. She had been forced to return to her residence because her sister was essentially arrested. And her sister had a legal ID that she obtained from the state of California, and that Veronica, who works for me, had also a legal ID that she obtained from the state of California. Both women are outstanding drivers. I have been with Veronica when we've driven to the store. She had.
So you've let her drive without a driver's license?
Excuse me, Phil. She has a legal ID. And
you heard what she said, right?
That's not a legal driver's license. You guys have both admitted to that.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I have full confidence in her driving ability. I've seen her drive, and I would put her ability as a driver at or above any American that you or I could possibly mention. And you may think that this is egotistical of me, with the exception of me. I'm a very good driver. And my husband, Steve, is a very good driver.
Yeah, they're both very good drivers, Mr. Henry. I'd put them both that better than any American I've ever seen, except to me. And I do drive good. But that's just...
And my husband also feels that there's an awful lot of racism. Because I said that I want this to be a legal driver's license for Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans. And I mentioned Tierra del Fuego for a reason. There are a great many of the Indo-South American inhabitants there who are not only Hispanic, but they are of a Native or Indo-Native origin, and they're very good workers.
Well, I don't know how you ever figure out that they come from Tierra del Fuego. Is that Argentina?
That is Argentina. So
what about Argentina proper?
No, Argentina proper, but with particular regard paid to any of the Indo-South American Native or Indo-Native people from there who we've got to get them IDs because, as workers, they're second to none.
All right. You've walked right into a buzzsaw here tonight, though, folks. All right. Well, you've walked right into a buzzsaw saying, well, they get to have the ID and they don't need a driver's license. Everybody else does. You realize that this is not something that the average American is even going to come close to approving. The country's on pins and needles. The country's on tenterhooks when it comes to immigration. And it's not a liberal conservative issue. Liberals and conservatives agree that something has to be done about it.
And something is being done about it. So we want to take good workers, people that are going to work and not sit around on a banjo. All right, and I'm sorry to say that, and give them the right to drive with a legal ID that is not a driver's license, but then again, neither is a driver's license that most of these banjo-playing Americans have because they cannot drive.
That's the whole point of it.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445 here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me go to the gentleman that was hanging on very, very patiently, and then we'll get on to some other calls. Rob, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show here, and we're back.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to finish by saying, you know, I guess the gist of their point is that they don't feel that American drivers can drive that well. But the point is that we do have to take a test to show a certain level of proficiency. We could probably debate whether that level should be raised or whatnot and whether or not we should have to have tests more often. But the point is that just wantonly awarding people who don't know the rules of the road and don't have not shown that level of proficiency to the state is absurd to the point of it being comical. I mean, the thing is, she said that she admitted that she allowed this person to drive. If I was in an accident and this person hit me, I would sue them one side and down the other.
Well, the state of California is going to cover that. That's part of the ID process.
I would sue you, where you use personally.
That, you. Well, you can't sue me. Sue me personally. I wasn't driving the car. You can't sue me.
It's your car. It's your car.
Well, you're being childish now. You're being childish.
I'm acting like you are. And the anecdotal.
You're being childish because you're losing the argument, and you're being childish. And I find that really repulsive. I find it revolting.
You're trying to reward people who have not shown any level of proficiency. And your anecdotal example about sitting under a tree playing a harmonica is such a blanket statement. That's racist.
Excuse me, I've seen it.
You have one.
I have seen it with my own eyes.
So
Americans with their banjos
under a tree. Every one of them, don't they? That's about as racist.
Let me tell you this much. I will tell you this. I feel much safer with Mexicans in the yard than I do Americans. I feel safer personally, and I also feel that the work's getting done
in my yard.
And I feel safer personally, and also I would rather have a Mexican working than an American strumming his banjo, reading his email, or whatever they do.
I would too, but I would rather have somebody that works, whether they're Mexican or American. The point is that just because you want this to make it easier on your life, and
you're stuttering
this on everybody else, I'm sorry that that person got arrested. They were breaking the law. They should have gotten arrested.
You're stuttering. He's stuttering.
You're stuttering, Ms. Dooley, and thank you for your call, sir.
I can do it just as good as you.
You have been doing it. That's why I was talking.
I've been listening to everything I've listened to everything you've said.
Every
and you took great exception.
You've been the one. Listen to the playback.
Okay, can I hear the playback, Mr. Henry?
I don't want to do that right now.
Because I think he's lying.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Our number is 877-876-7445. He's not lying, Ms. Dooley. You've been going,
Well, I have not been doing it to distraction the way that man. I found it very interesting.
No, man, Mr. Henry, I don't want to interrupt, honey.
Go ahead.
That man was making comments about my wife going, on account of he was stuttering.
I don't stutter.
But he's fumbling, muttering.
No, I thought that man made his points very, very well, and he's talking about insurance, which you guys haven't even addressed yet. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to, I got Jamie over here that we got to get to. Jamie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
I just wanted to make
a couple comments, actually. I wanted to share an experience to give you a little food for thought. about 8 years ago. We were rear-ended by a drunk driver who is an illegal alien. We were the third family he'd hit in the last 8 years. And,
we're not talking about an illegal alien. We're talking about legal aliens.
Well,
we're talking about a legal alien, right? So,
either
Mr. Henry, why did you allow this call on the air?
Because I let the lady, I want to hear her story.
Either way, this person came into the country to work or do whatever, but what he did on his free time was drink, and three families he nearly killed by driving.
What do you do on your free time? What do you do on your free time?
I take care of my children.
You drink?
And no, I don't. I take care of my children. Do you get drunk on your free time?
Darling, I have three sons, and I had time to relax. So what are you doing wrong?
All right, we're not going to be debating motherhood, okay? That's not going to happen.
Well, she's saying that if a man takes a drink, he's some sort of weirdo. I don't get it.
No, she's saying that a man took a drink. He got into a car.
And drove 160 miles an hour and catapulted me and my son off the road.
That's very interesting. But what is the second?
You're saying you should give a driver's license to whomever, whenever, however.
No, no, I didn't say that. You know,
I
bet you that story, you've been just dying to go on a radio and tell, even though it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
I'm an American, and I was driving fine.
Well, we'll see.
Well,
I'm not talking about illegal. Just because you're burning to get that story out because Larry King hung up on you.
Larry King ain't been on the air for a long time.
Whoever.
I don't even know who you're talking about. The point is,
you're all jazzed about getting that story out there. It's got nothing to do with what I'm saying.
It has a lot to do with it. You're willing to give a driver's license to someone simply on the basis that they're a Hispanic origin and they want to come to the U.S. and work here. And that
is they're legal. They're not illegal. And I'm not saying give them a driver's license. I'm saying people that come here legally get an ID. And let that be also their driver's license.
You're not.
And because you're so jazzed about
that, they know how to drive.
And you're
saying here's a picture, a photo of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It says this is your name. It says that contains no information.
You don't have any proof that you can drive. Well, we don't have proof you can drive. All you do is send in your renewal.
Well, you can look at my driving record. I've never rear-ended people drunk. I take driving very seriously. I care
maybe.
For the welfare of other people.
Maybe.
And I
so I have to take your word for it? I have to take my word? No. You don't take a drive. You
do. Otherwise, they would take my driver's license away.
Wait a second. I have a driver's license, and I know all you have to do is send in a renewal. You don't have to take any tests. So I don't know who you think you're fooling here.
On your free time
I don't know.
When you're trying to get away from your kids?
You are saying that you know how to drive. We don't know what to do.
With your assistant
how many people
are coming to work
oh, really?
For you?
Well, how many people have you killed? How many people have you
None.
Killed?
Zero.
Okay, ladies. This is...
Yeah, well, I don't believe you. I think you've probably killed children.
Okay, that's enough.
Wow. Well, my point was, she's being vicious. Everybody should just be given a driver's license. I think it should be...
You know, I have a friend of mine who was rear-ended by an American who was playing a banjo.
Okay. Well,
what do you think of that?
It's a privilege, and you need to earn it, and it's not something that even an American can just get handed to them. They have to earn it. My son is looking forward to
driving. Oh my God! I guess you don't drive much.
He's gonna have to learn.
You don't drive much because I see people driving all the time, and they're out there with their
police on the road. That's why we have police on the road.
Oh, I see. So now we have police
in jail.
But that doesn't mean they know how to drive, though. And so what I'm saying is we have Americans that don't drive well, and you're talking some rubbish about whoever rear-ended you. I don't care. And you're saying that I'm drunk. So as far as I'm concerned, you rear-ended a car full of infants, and they went flying through the windshield.
Oh, God.
You're the most illogical person I've ever met in my life.
You started out illogically. You were talking about illegal,
I
wasn't.
You interrupted me and said, over me. You probably missed half of what I said.
Were you talking about an illegal immigrant or not? You were talking illegal, and I was talking legal, so I'm logical.
You weren't even talking legal or illegal. You were saying, bring them all in and give them an ID.
No, I never said that. No. Now who's drinking? I never said that.
I was listening to you.
You know what?
So we
you know what? I'll bet you buy your Ripple by the case. Thank you, and good night.
Did she hang up?
Yeah.
Wow, she hung up. All right, Jamie. You buy your Ripple by the case. And I don't know. Thank you
That's
for your
fine.
Call, though.
Yes, she told me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jamie. 877-877, we got to wear.
Line two.
Ms. Dooley.
I refuse to stay on the line. Is she gone?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm back.
Well, what are we going to do now? Hang up on people you don't like?
I'm not going to talk to a woman who, for all I know, for her kicks, for her laughs, for the way she gets her thrills, she guns it right up to the rear bumper of a bus, scares the bus driver. The bus goes off the road, and guess what? Next thing you know, big yellow bus goes through the ice.
She hung up again.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't we have to take a break? We do. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Tonight we're talking about legal immigrants who are here, and that Bobby and Steve Dooley, who are frequent contributors to our program, are themselves employers of legally immigrated Hispanic people. You guys have talked about people from Mexico, Central America, and why specifically them?
Well, there's just a higher percentage of them.
Yeah, most people are going to work for us.
All right, and you're saying, and what they're essentially saying is they're advocating for a separate standard, if you will, that if they get their legal ID, then that qualifies as a driver's license. And with that ID, it's not only a driver's license. You said something else is a credit card?
No, not a credit card. It's a debit card.
Yeah.
A debit card.
Yeah, my husband believes that if they get the ID, it can work not only as their legal ID, it works also as their legal driver's license, but it also can be a debit card to be used at any California insured state bank where such as the people who are employees of the state cash their checks. And
yeah, up to $100 cash withdrawal.
Up to $100 cash withdrawal. So it's an all-purpose ID. It's a driver's license, it's an ID, and it's a debit card.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Ricky on the line. Go ahead, Ricky. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask. She was talking about the Mexican driving and all. Well, if that ID is the same as a driver's license, well, it's federal law, I guess. You got to have insurance and a tag. And you got to have a driver's license to get that. So what do you do about that?
Well, you don't have to have a driver's license to get a tag. Okay. Hello, are you there?
I'm here.
Go steroid.
Okay, we're getting interference.
You don't have to have a driver's license to get a tag for a car. Now, when it comes to insurance, as you put it, are you saying what? What are you saying? Hello?
I guess we lost Ricky. All right, 877, you want to go ahead and answer the question?
Well, I can't answer the question if he's not here. I do have a very good answer for the question, but I refuse to answer it unless he's here.
Well, what you don't want to answer the question. I mean, I'll put it to you again. I mean, if they have no drive, are they getting insurance?
I don't think where people get insurance.
Where do regular people get insurance, what my husband's asking?
At an insurance agency.
Yeah, so that's where they get it.
So that's where they're going to go get it, at an insurance agency. But I don't think that you need to have insurance to get a car tag. And we're not talking about owning a car. We're just talking about using the ID as a driver. Why are people trying to complicate this?
Well, I think, Mr. Renner, there's people trying to trip us up, you know, and asking these questions.
Well, they're not trying to trip you up. They're asking you logical questions about just exactly what you need in the state of California to have what you got to have. Here is David. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I want to know how they're insuring their vehicles when they tell their insurance agent that they're letting somebody without a license drive them around. How do you have insurance for those people?
We're fully insured.
You are, but what about them? They don't have a driver's license. So
right.
How can you possibly have any insurance?
But they do have the ID. They do have the California state ID.
ID doesn't
and
make it.
Are you a police officer?
No,
I'm not. Your radio.
I'm a commercial truck driver.
You're a commercial truck what? What did you say you were?
I said
you're a commercial truck driver.
Yes.
Okay.
How are you insuring these people?
Well, you know as well as I do that not everyone has insurance, but they have a ID, and if someone hits them, then that person pays for it.
Please answer my question. How are you insuring them to drive?
Well, you're not a cop.
Are you a cop?
You're not a cop.
How are you insuring them?
I don't insure them, sir.
So
I don't even give them their ID. They go, I don't know. Maybe they do.
You're allowing them to drive your vehicle. You don't know if they have insurance or not?
I have insurance. Have you ever heard of something called Have you ever heard of something called third driver or other driver insurance, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but that's got to be with someone who's got a driver's license.
You don't have
not necessarily.
You don't have a driver's license, so you're not. They have no insurance.
Well, you didn't know that. Yeah, but you didn't know that until Mr. Henry said that.
What?
He just waited for you to answer it.
All right, well, we have to take a break. Thank you, sir, for your call, and I don't think
you
answered his question, which is what, you know.
Well, he wasn't a truck driver. He sounded too educated.
He sounded like a cop.
Well, whatever. You didn't answer the question. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Back in a moment.
Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us here as we talk about the illegal, actually legal immigrants that come to this country who need IDs, and they get IDs. That should be a driver's license. We got this insurance question, you know, dangling out there, you guys. You know that?
Phil, I answered that question.
No, we already answered that.
No, you didn't. No, you did not. You did not answer the question. These guys are out there. They do not have a legal driver's license. They have this ID. What about insurance?
We are, you know, people don't listen. We are asking that this become the law, and we want for those people to be able to buy insurance.
But you already said you let her drive your car.
Maybe.
Well, did you let her drive your car or not?
We're not going to answer that question, Mr. Ram, because it's been twisted around.
My husband thinks that the statement that I made has been twisted.
Well, I heard you say what you said, okay?
I don't think you did.
Yes, I did. 877. Yes, I did, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Don. Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. I'd like to ask your guest if she's in favor of abolishing tests for drivers.
No, I'm not.
Well, that sounds like what you're advocating for these immigrants.
Oh, just for the immigrants. I guess you came late to the call, huh? Because what we're saying, the gentleman's name is Don?
Yeah.
Don, what we're saying is this. Mexicans, Central Americans, and South Americans, all they need is an ID, and that will pass for a driver's license. And the reason why we're saying that is that most Americans, even though they take a driver's test, are not very good drivers.
I can grant you that, but given that, is there any proof with this ID card that any of these immigrants or anyone else has any ability to drive a car at all?
Well, I don't know, but I think if they're driving the car, then I have another question.
Well,
how would you know whether they had a driver's license unless they were pulled over?
All right, whoa.
Hold on.
Is this guy stupid or something? Hey, Don, hold on. Now, you guys are not going to talk over each other, okay?
Well, I don't like being told, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm not, I don't want people talking over each other.
I just have one other question.
Yeah, Don, you got to be quiet for a minute because I'm talking. And when I'm talking, everybody stops talking.
Okay.
And only Phil talks, okay? Now, Ms. Dooley, the gentleman was saying something, and you were blathering on and on and on. You answered the question, and the gentleman started to talk, and you kept going.
I simply said, if someone's driving up...
You know, I'm just asking you just to be quiet so the guy can talk. Okay, Don, go ahead.
So, given the fact that...
No, so he didn't want to answer the thing that I said.
Would you please be quiet? Go ahead.
Okay. Given the fact that the ID card does not establish any proof of any ability to operate a motor vehicle, does your guest think that the quality of the drivers on our roads will increase or decrease given this lack of scrutiny?
It'll probably increase.
The quality will increase?
Yes.
I'd be interested to hear how that might be.
Well, because Mexicans, if they're in the car, I think it's pretty obvious they know how to drive one. That's the only way you're going to find out if they have a license. They only have the ID, and they can't get any worse than what we've got. So the odds are it's going to get better.
That's not an answer at all.
You know, well, Mr. Henry, I listened to you go, oh, 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 and I answered the question, sir. And
that's not, I'm just saying it's not an answer.
Can I ask another question?
Beat up my wife.
Go ahead, Don.
We keep
going back
to the fact that there is no test for proficiency in operating a motor vehicle with this ID. None whatsoever. How does that increase the ability of drivers on the road?
Because the test for proficiency is not any good. You can see by the quality of the drivers that are out there.
So we should abolish all of them.
No, I didn't say that. I said Mexicans can only get it better if they don't take a test. Because the test for...
Now, the Mexicans don't take a test, got about to get better. On account of the test, but it's bad.
Exactly.
If there's no test, there can be no assessment of ability.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because we have tests, and we give people driver's licenses, and they still drive... Well, You're laughing because you just lost the argument.
Hello? Anybody there? All right. Don, thank you. 877-877. Are you there, Ms. Dooley?
I put the phone down, yeah.
Well, you didn't win any argument, and he didn't lose any argument.
I said, Phil, that the Mexican...
Wait a minute. The Mexicans not take a test.
No, I listen to you guys. If they don't take a test, it can't get any worse. And the fact that the tests that exist don't test anything.
Well, Phil, the point is, look at the drivers we have out there.
I heard the drivers that we have out there stink.
I didn't say they stink. You know,
I mean, I'm out there. I have a driver's license. I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
But everybody else stinks.
Pretty much.
877-876-PHIL, the number here. Let's go over to Ronnie here. Ronnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just going to make a comment on, you know, whenever you're an American, you go get a job. On an application, it says no matter race, creed, color, whatever. So whoever's going to end up on the road in America is going to have to be qualified to follow American guidelines. I think the issue is about the assistance to the Mexican people to be more qualified to be on the level of the Americans, to not look so much at them being Mexican, but the, you know, liability issues.
Well, there's that insurance question.
All right.
Yeah, the insurance is, if somebody wrecks my property, uh-huh, I want to know that they can pay for it. That's a point blank. Uh-huh. That's not even an argument. That's just a simple...
I agree. And the way that we propose that happen is that the state of California and the various states have a reservoir into which, okay, you're not going to like this, but taxpayers put a portion of their earnings, and that becomes what we would call a Mexican stopgap.
Yeah, it's like a Mexican standoff.
We nicknamed it a Mexican standoff.
And wait a minute. So you're saying that the... You're saying the public...
What's confusing people, mm-hmm, is you're so focused on putting the label Mexican out there whenever it should be, no matter race, creed, color, or what, you got guidelines on these highways that are going to be followed whether anybody likes it or not.
Well, that's not really what we want. What we want is a special class of ID for the Mexican, the Guatemalan,
now you're
and
gonna
the Chilean.
Now you're going to realm of discrimination.
No, no. This is a qualified worker that must, simply must. For instance, if I need her to go to the store, all right.
It's going to do something. Anybody that's
if I need her
to go, has to have a qualification.
Mm-hmm,
whether it's
mm-hmm.
Mexican, like you go back to the mm-hmm. job application, race, creed, color, mm-hmm. sex, what? If you're qualified, mm-hmm. you're qualified. No matter your color, no matter your age.
Well, no, but
as
you see, there is a particular kind. Right, but we have a real need for these workers from Tierra del Fuego because of their ability. So.
Well,
if I can get them out on the highway.
My son won't get a job, but there's a Mexican wanting to chuck some meat at the plant that he won't get a job at. So, I mean, you know, naturally,
mm-hmm.
he wants to work. Hey, it's the survival of the fittest. If you don't work, you don't eat. You got to work for your bread and your meat. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about the Mexican like there's some kind
you're
of special
meat.
Need for assistance whenever all they got to do
what
is
mean,
work and get qualified.
You're working for your meat. I'm saying that I need the Mexican to get down to, for instance, if I need to go, if I need her to go down and pick up a leg of lamb. I need,
right.
It may not be much to you, and it may not be a big job to you, but to me, that's a big job. So I need her
right.
to get in the car and go down there and get it.
You got to get
well,
it down, too.
You know, the insurance issue is that whenever she gets in that vehicle, if she crashes into
right.
somebody, is she going to be able to
yeah.
pay for it? It's simple. It's
can she pay for it?
It's simple.
With,
it's
yes,
simple.
With,
it's
the Mexican with the Mexican fund. With the Mexican fund, she can.
The Mexican fund. So this is a insurance fund that you are proposing, obviously, that taxpayers in America pay for.
Well, we're looking at it any way we
you
can.
You know what? You know what it sounds like? What you need to be talking about is like something dual, like a dual passport, only a dual driver
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something where
mm-hmm.
you're qualified on both sides of the border.
So
well, she gets
I don't really
American,
care.
If she gets on an American highway and she crashes into an American, they're going to say, hey, I want to get paid. Are you going to be responsible
right.
for that? Is this your employee? How far does that go?
I just told you the Mexican fund. What am I saying that he's not getting?
Well,
no,
what do you
not,
mean?
It's not saying that I'm not getting. It's what you're so evasive and rude. Is this for entertainment? Because this is a serious issue.
I just answered your question, sir. I said that the woman is insured by way of the Mexican fund.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
if
she crashes into American, they're going to pay the cost. That's simple. Yeah, I get that.
There, you see? What am I? I don't stutter.
Well, wait. This is taxpayer supported.
I'm not being rude, but I'm talking to you, sir, and you're going on and on about your. I said the I made the banjo playing American comment. And a lot of people don't like it. I know that you're all right with it.
All right, I'm going to let this gentleman go. Appreciate your call, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. This idea of the Mexican fund. All of you guys, just like I said. They're at...
By the way, Phil, you know, all of you guys, I don't like being lumped into a category with all you guys. This is an idea that we came up with. I'm not saying it's perfect, but, we have a need for this kind of worker. And if this is something we can do, fine. If it isn't, fine. But, if you want them to be insured... then you're going to have to pay for it.
No, look, I don't want them insured on those terms. You do. So you and Steve are proposing the Mexican Fund, or whatever you call it.
Look at the name, Mr. Andrew. Get insurance.
Right, that every taxpayer's got to contribute to. Man, no way. And even if I agreed with you, I can predict it would never, ever, ever pass muster with the voters.
Well, then it would have to be an executive order.
You'd have a recall. You'd have a recall election or some kind of an impeachment for any elected official that decided to pass a law or executive order into existence a portion of the Treasury's assets to go into some kind of a quote unquote Mexican fund so that there is insurance for legal immigrants using only their ID card as a driver's license in case they get into an automobile accident. We are paying for that. That executive, whether he's a governor or a president, would be subject, I guarantee you, to a recall. That's how the voters would react to that. Wait, she's still talking? All right, well, let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. What was that, man? I heard some kind of a...
Sounded like a spring came sprung.
A spring came sprung is right. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour is our news and information hour, and we're not too far away from Saturday. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. This idea that you proposed, Ms. Dooley, you know, personally, I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. The fact that legal immigrants use a ID and that's all they have to use. We have the insurance question. As a matter of fact, we have this gentleman on the line now, Andre, who just gave us a, I think, a very interesting... you know, basically, Andre, you were telling us that the driver's license is at least a common standard from which the court and the police can work when it comes to responsibility, correct?
That's correct. If a person goes through a driver's test, that person automatically acknowledges that they have, that they have accepted the responsibility in the event of a death or a maiming of a person, that that is the standard of proficiency that the police... the judge, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, the victim, and the accused can work from. And we all acknowledge that in the case of somebody, somebody has to pay for the death or the standard that is set, and we all can work from that. I am an immigrant as well. So I know what I had to go through in order to...
Did you have a driver's license when you came here?
No, I had to go for it. And I'm 50 years old.
Well, see, that's what I feel... I don't think that's fair. I think you should have been able to use your ID.
No, it was me telling the American government, I have accepted the responsibility of your standard. So in the event of me killing somebody... I acknowledge that I have accepted the responsibility and I am being passed by your standards to operate a vehicle that can do 120 mile an hour. Be I right in driving that fast. In the other
Now, do you know that you sound like the perfect immigrant to our country? And this is what I'm talking about, Phil. Here's a gentleman who's an immigrant to our country. He's more conversant with the laws of our country than any American. I dare say he's probably a better driver. I dare say, Andre, you are probably more responsible. And this is what I'm saying.
Not at all.
I would give you the right to drive on our highways with
but
just
that,
an ID.
But if
and the average American, I would force to literally go through submarine school to get a driver's license. That means a compression tank, fire in oil-laden water.
Oh, God. Go ahead. Let this gentleman talk.
May I ask
you know what I'm saying?
Do you have a child? Do you have children?
I have three.
I am a father. If somebody in this country or any country, even the country I came from, without having passed a proficiency test, killed one of my children, and I was sitting in court... I would have a problem and a huge lawsuit against that person. Now, having come into this country, you have to, in order to drive a vehicle, and I have a daughter that comes
into
this
country. I just think the kids take their chances, you know.
I'm sorry?
The kids take their chances.
Well, I love my sons. I love them very much, but... they live in America, and I tell them, we've got a great country, but you know what? You take your you-know-what's into your hands when you go out the front door.
Oh, come on. Even when they were little boys?
Yes. Even when they were children.
My point is...
That's what I told them.
The driver's license...
I told my friend, I said, you take your nuts in your hands.
Will you let this gentleman finish? Go ahead, Andre.
My point is this. There is a standard in a court of law. This is a very... There's a lot of lawsuits that happen in this country.
Get some napkins. I want to get a Wendy's...
My point is, there's a lot of lawsuits, and you have to set a proficiency so that when all these parties enter into a court of law, we're all working from a base. Not from a base where somebody can fly out of the country
you have.
Right.
I also agree that you only can get a driver's license if you're a legal resident of this country, because in the event of you being sued, you don't, or you are not a flight risk,
right,
you pay for the medical costs that I have.
You said that already.
Give me some, give me a Coke, too.
Andre, thank you very much. You've been very kind, because the two of them have been ordering at a Wendy's.
No, I have not. No, I have not.
While this gentleman has patiently explained to you, I've been listening to you ordering Cokes, coffee, and everything else at Wendy's.
I'm not at Wendy's, Mr. Henry, if that matters.
Well, what difference does it make? Jack in the Box, whatever. Andre, thank you, sir, and that was very, very good.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your phone call.
Andre, I was listening to you, but I had to get some coffee.
All right.
Not because,
I understand.
No, can I get one of the square hamburgers?
All right, Andre, you're a good man, sir, and the very best to you this evening and to your family. That was very, very rude.
Phil, you know, you're very melodramatic. A lot of the things that... Hey, we're doing good. Yeah, can I get a bowl of chili?
Sorry, my man, to get the best chili going.
What are we doing? Are we doing a commercial for Wendy's here or what?
Phil, I am starving. We've been out all day. Okay, is that all right with you? Or am I supposed to sit here and go through low blood sugar withdrawals and possibly faint?
My wife needs to eat us something.
My wife needs to eat us something? Look at this. Steve's got Italian.
All right.
Yeah?
Hey, Dan?
Yeah, can you get the square hamburger I said?
What is it? We want the square hamburger.
If you're not at Wendy's...
Holy Jesus, we're not at Wendy's.
Well, what the hell, Steve? We better go find another drive-thru.
How you doing?
No, we don't want anything. No, we don't want to order from your hole.
I don't want to order from you, man. You ain't got the square hamburger.
Phil, did I ever tell you this?
Will you get out of here, both of you? All right. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, can I get a bowl of chili? Anyway... It's very nice to have the Dooleys with us, and we do certainly appreciate their contributing to the radio show. But when they come on here and say, hey, only an ID for illegal immigrants, and oh, yeah, where do I get the square hamburger? You know, I'll tell you, square hamburger sounds about right. By the way, I've got a great story to tell you about the square Wendy's hamburger and how long it took them to build a Wendy's in the U.S. Virgin Islands. That and more coming back here at our News and Information Hour on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil, don't go away.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, square hamburger.
Phil Henry.
All right.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And they tried, but I said, yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your...
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
It doesn't really make any sense at all.
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely. You start a trip, people.
Are you blonde? Are you blonde, Mr.
No, but I love it. Love.
Like... We're trying to get them to the back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Of course, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-7445. Here on the world famous Phil Henry Show tonight. Later on, Doug Danger joins us. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and the topic is going to be Charlie Sheen. And whether or not Charlie Sheen is a good thing or a bad thing for the entertainment business, your kids, and CBS. Coming up, Ted Bell is going to be discussing a potential lawsuit involving his restaurant and a patron. And what is happening? Ted runs one of the more prominent restaurants in Beverly Hills, California. And here is a guy who is being, he's possibly considering a lawsuit against one of his own patrons for actions that took place in that restaurant last month. So that's all ahead here on the world famous Phil Henry Show tonight. And don't forget, of course, our news hour comes up at the last hour of the show. And it'll be with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Join us also with our live streaming Phil TV video cast on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, new, enhanced, and by God, I think we pretty much got it in HD.
Well, is that verified?
You know what, man? I think it's just about high definition, I'm telling you. All right. So I gave you all the lowdown on what's happening on the show tonight. We also want to mention that our affiliate spotlight this evening casts its very firm gaze on Providence, Rhode Island, WSAR 1480 AM. Great people in Rhode Island and Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG 1230 AM in Grand Rapids. And PhilHendryShow.com is our, of course, our website. Let's join now Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we are going to be talking with him about this lawsuit that he's been talking with the not only his lawyer, but us about.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the most delicious cuts of meat and a great time. Served
here
up every
at
night.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
I know you have a lot in your mind tonight.
I believe we have an awful lot in our mind, Phil, and I don't know what this woman was thinking. I'm not going to speculate. My attorney mentioned that we can talk about it in a limited way, but it's not anything that I think, I don't want to characterize it the wrong way. I can tell you what happened, and I can tell you that it's significant for me, and it's significant to come on your program and talk about this, because so many people in the restaurant business, Phil, are dealing with this. We are dealing with levels of abuse from our customers that we haven't ordinarily dealt with. And
so tell us what happened so we can sort of scope this out. This was an incident in which you were assaulted, right?
Absolutely, yes. It happened, as you mentioned, Bill, it happened in the middle of January last month. We were closing, pretty close to closing. We'd had some late parties come in. And we had a dessert that we were pushing, and we were very, very high on it, and it was a new kind of ice cream. And we also were serving it with our vanilla cake, and we were serving it with our chocolate cake. So we brought the dessert tray by this table, and there was an elderly woman there who, I have to tell you, she was not the friendliest person throughout the evening. So you could say, well, maybe you should have seen this coming, maybe not, I don't know. I said, you've got to try our dessert, please. It's right here on the dessert tray. And try this ice cream. We've got it in three flavors. We basically had this vanilla, chocolate, and...
And this was the dessert that you were pushing, huh?
Well, the ice cream was, yeah.
Okay, but you're putting it on cake or a la mode?
That's exactly. So she looks at me, and she says, I'll take it a la mode on a piece of the French apple pie that we had. And I said, great. And we brought her two scoops. And she ate this. Now, we have been dealing with this supplier, Phil, and I think you know Len Hassinger and his brother. These are two suppliers who deal with a dairy and a dessert, sort of a dessert model, if you will, back in Chicago, and we really got a hold of this ice cream and really liked it. And so it's a Hassinger, it's part of the Hassinger dairy chain. So the woman ate the ice cream. And I said to her, how did you like it? She said it was delicious. And then I told her that it was breast milk ice cream. And that
it was what?
It was breast milk ice cream, okay? And this was what made it unique. It is ice cream made from the breast milk of women. And so we were excited about this product because we think it is a green product, meaning it is breast milk from a human woman. And so we're not taking up space in the traditional sense with the cows or steer. And this was an ice cream that was made from the milk of human beings. So, you know, the overhead is not that much, and it's a very, very delicious ice cream. She picks up the dish of ice cream, and that's when I was assaulted.
And what did she do?
She picked the ice cream up, and she took the dish, which was a sterling silver dish. It was a sterling silver dish, and threw it at me, hitting me in the dish glanced off my head. I got ice cream all over the front of me.
And I said to her, I'm going to call the police. And she said she wanted the police to. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be a gentleman about this. I'm going to sue you. Now, her husband, I happen to know, he runs a post-production house in Beverly Hills. And
Hold on for a minute. So this woman picked up this ice cream and threw it at you.
Yes. After she picked up the tray, there was some pie left on it.
After you told her that it was breast milk ice cream.
That is correct. Now, her husband is a very wealthy post-production guy. And I got news for you, and I got news for them. And I got news for anybody that wants to hear the news. They don't want me coming after them. They don't want Ted Belinick. The last place they want to see me is in a courtroom. And I was humiliated in front of my customers, in front of my employees. I was assaulted. And
is there anything in your mind do you feel it was fair to bring up the fact that it was breast milk ice cream?
What I don't understand what is unfair about that. Breast milk ice cream, which, by the way...
I thought that the selling of breast milk in the United States was illegal.
No, but the selling of breast... Hold on for a minute. And don't... Please, Phil, don't start talking about things you don't know. The selling of breast milk is illegal. But this was on the house. It was also breast milk ice cream, all right? So it was not what we would call... it was not what you're going to call contraband. That's number one. But number two, she didn't pick that ice cream up and throw it at me because she felt it was illegal. She didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she is a sour woman who I felt was offended by the fact that there are younger women providing product that she can't provide.
And you think she threw that ice cream at you because she was angry that you had served her breast milk ice cream at a time in her life when she can't create breast milk?
Absolutely. And she called me every name in the book. And
did she ever, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ted.
Go ahead.
Did she reference at all what she thought was the quasi-legal nature? And I'm not saying it was illegal.
Look, there was nothing illegal about it. It was, I gave it to her. It was in, the product was made from breast milk. All right, so I didn't sell it. And it's a very delicious, I don't know if you've had breast milk ice cream, Phil.
No, I haven't.
But I can tell you I have, and it is absolutely delicious. And as I said, it came in three. We have the chocolate, we've got Dutch chocolate, and we've got vanilla. Actually, we have four. We have the vanilla, and we got French vanilla. And we carry those flavors because those are the most popular. But what she did to me by picking this up and throwing it at me, we got a little sidetracked. She assaulted me in my own restaurant. Now, this is a problem that we've had where patrons in restaurants, especially after they've had a few drinks, decide that they're going to get a little bit out of hand, they're going to throw things at people, or they're going to try to get into a fight. And we're restaurateurs. We are not, we're not security people. We're not, we don't want to get involved in fights. We are simply individuals who are, trying to run a business, and we have this this kind of thing happening, which, to my way of thinking, Bill, is an actionable offense. The reason why I'm on your program talking about this...
Well, can I interrupt one more time, Ted? I'll give her a number on it. It's 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight about breast milk ice cream.
But really what we're talking about here is a patron assaulting me.
Yeah, we're talking about a patron of yours that assaulted you by throwing a dish of ice cream or a dish of pie. I guess she'd eaten all of it.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. When I found out, and I'm talking to her husband, I said, you got a problem. I said to her husband, I said, you got two problems. You got me, I'm coming after you, and you're married to her. And
what did he say to that?
What's he going to say? And this is one of the most powerful guys in town. He's got two post-production houses. But I said to him, you've got two problems. And I held my fingers up right in front of his face. And I said, two. I said, one, and I was holding the fingers up, and then I would peel one down at a time as I listed it. One, I'm suing you, which left, guess which finger it left?
So you're flipping the man off.
Exactly. And I said, and two, and I stuck that one right in his face, you're married to that. I was angry.
All right, but again, what we're talking about here is the woman throwing this dish at you after she found out that you had given her breast milk ice cream. Do you find? Do you think that there is anything to that?
Well, I told you that what I thought was to it. I said that the fact that she is not a young woman anymore. All right, she is not able to make breast milk herself. You come to the table and you say, and by the way, we've got a very delicious dessert this evening, breast milk ice cream, which you, if you get into the head of a woman, the first thing she's thinking is, you know, I can't make breast milk ice cream. Some, I don't know whether they're thinking some, you know, woman that's loose. You know, what kind of woman, you know, to be honest with you, and I've never asked the question, but what kind of woman, you know, lends her breast milk to make ice cream? I, to be honest with you, I sell it, or I wouldn't sell it, but I do have it in my restaurant to give away. But I do question, you know, the character, I guess, of a woman that's going to.
All right. Well, I mean, whatever. So you're saying that you have this breast milk ice cream,
but I just question the character of any woman that would donate her own breast milk for this. But I think you've gotten a little bit off point.
Well, there's parallel things happening here, Ted. And our number, folks, 877-876-7445. On the one hand, you have the woman who threw that dish at you, the lawsuit that you're going to file, and rightfully so. And I don't know, was there a police report?
Oh, we both wanted the police. I said, I'm calling the police. She said, I'm calling the police, too. I said, you know what? I tell you what I'll do. How about if I just sue you? And that backed her off, and it backed her husband off, and they just, I have to tell you, they fled the restaurant, is the best way I can put it.
All right, well, you've got a couple of things going on here, in my opinion. You have not only the fact that she threw this ice cream dish at you, you also have the fact that it was breast milk ice cream. Now, I know it's against the, I know you didn't sell it.
No, I did not sell it. No, I did not. I'd like you to not keep bringing that up, because I didn't sell it.
All right, so you just gave it to them as a treat.
I gave it to them because it was late, because we had it. It's delicious. And I said, you've got to try this. And she said, okay. And I said, it's ice cream. It comes, what would you like? And she said, I'll take the, I think she had the Dutch, she had two scoops. She wanted the Dutch chocolate and she wanted the French vanilla. And there again is another point. You know, these people, when you give them something free, they really want it all. They just reach out and grab, grab, grab. And then you say, it's breast milk ice cream. And she throws the dish at me. So, and I told her husband that too. I said, she wants a cop. A minute ago, she was grabbing for all she could get. So this is a real problem among people who run restaurants. When you're late at night, they have a few drinks.
Had this woman been drinking?
I have to believe she was, yeah. I have to believe she was drinking. You've got to be, I got to tell you something, Phil. You've got to be drunk to throw a dish at me. To throw a dish at me. And as I said, there's two places you don't want to see me. You don't want to see me in court. And you don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish and you find out it was me that you threw it at.
So. All right, let's take a break here. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He owns a steakhouse, and he served a woman breast milk ice cream as a treat. When she found out what it was, she threw the dish at him. There is a lawsuit now between Mr. Bell and this woman. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Is this a, I wonder if this is actionable, and I, to be honest with you, I wonder seriously about the, I don't know whether it's legal or if that's the word, the legality or the tastefulness of serving somebody breast milk ice cream and not telling them. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this portion of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio for Patriots. I got to remember what that is, Phil. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. There you go.
Here at 10.
Beverly Hills, California.
Are you a native, Ted?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles originally. I was born and raised in believe it or not, Inglewood.
Well, when you say believe it or not, people should know what we mean, because it's primarily an African-American neighborhood.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I am white. Not that there's anything unusual about, a white man coming from a place that... I drove by our old house, and it was right there in Inglewood, and I said, there's a black guy sleeping in my bed now.
Good God, Ted.
Well, I don't mean that racially, and I know you want me to mean it that way.
No, I don't. I just don't find that tasteful.
I don't mean it racially, and I apologize.
All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the serving of ice cream to a woman. It turned out to be breast milk ice cream. And the woman throwing the dish of ice cream in your face.
And it was, by the way, it was on the house.
And it was comp, yes. I wanted to ask you before we take one of our calls, do you not think you should tell someone before you serve them food made from a fluid from a human being?
I think, Phil, you put it that way to make it sound as vile as you could, and I really resent that. And
no, I think I put it very objectively.
Well, what difference does it make? We eat food that is from the body of a mammal. We eat mammals. We eat. What is different from a woman?
We don't eat human flesh.
Oh, my God. We're not talking about eating human flesh. We're talking about breast milk, which is as pure and as it is a... Breast milk is, I think, the very symbol. You know, I can't believe it. I got a dish thrown at me, and I looked at her, and I said, it's made from breast milk, and she got the sourest look on her face, like a woman that's full of hate.
All right, let me take a call very quickly, and I apologize to our callers. We're running a little late tonight. Here is Sherry in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I don't know what he's thinking. Female breast milk, why didn't he tell her in the beginning that this is something we're comping, we're giving you? It's a new ice cream. It's female breast milk.
You didn't tell her it's female breast milk.
You're not going to come out and say that, because that's the, that's the surprise, if you will.
Okay, that's why you got the dish thrown at you.
Well, it didn't make any difference in my mind whether it was female breast. I thought it was unusual because it was made from female breast milk that it was so delicious.
No, I'll tell you. Female breast milk carries whatever that mother eats. That's why a lot of babies cannot drink their mother's milk, because of the filtering. It's got stuff in it. If they're on drugs, if they're on alcohol.
Yeah. Oh,
you fed this woman.
How do you know where this breast milk comes from?
The breast milk the Hassinger brothers use?
Yeah.
It is absolute. It comes from people that they know, friends of theirs.
Oh, God, man, I don't know if that's anything. Sherry, why don't you hang on the line? We'll be right back with you and Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
God.
Phil. That's 877-876-7445.
Test of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is not only brought to you by Test of Beverly Hills, it's brought to you by Dynapep, a fantastic, fantastic product. Here's Phil Hendry to tell you a little bit more about Dynapep. Micro shot.
Thank you, Ted.
I've tried the Dynapep. I like it a lot.
Dynapep is one of our sponsors, and of course, Dynapep, a sponsor to our program and a product that we use, and of course, Ted the Bear,
I saw Ted the Bear with the bells on his neck and everything. Very cute. although I didn't like him.
Never mind. DynaPep is a micro energy shot, folks, that we use on this program. I use DynaPep some nights when you really need an extra little pick-me-up. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's only 2 calories, okay? So it's a healthy micro shot, and it gets you through the night focused and alert, or keeps you going when you've been up all night. DynaPep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We have DynaPep here in studio, and if you're watching our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, show you the DynaPep, and then you see Buddy Bear has got some DynaPep. This is the DynaPep that I took this evening. It's a cinnamon flavored DynaPep, and it is awesome. I may have another one here. It's DynaPep, and go to DynaPep.com to learn more. DynaPep.com. Ted Bell with us. We're going to go back to our listener, Sherry, who is very patient, waiting in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Sherry. And the question I had, and you brought it up as well, Sherry, is selling somebody a product that is a bodily fluid.
You know, you make it sound like I was selling that woman urine. And I think there's a difference between that and mother's milk.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, if the scientists say that urine is purified, it is sanitary water, so what's the difference? That's gross to be sending. Why would you...
Are you telling me that mother's milk that we feed babies is the same as someone peeing into a bottle?
Well,
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yes.
We are? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Phil?
It's purified.
I'm talking to a lady.
So you tell me. Okay. How would you like if somebody had served you...
Oh, my God. Are you telling me that you're...
A man's body fluid. No, wait. How would you like it if somebody had given you a man's bodily fluid in a tiramisu or in some kind of... How would you like that once you found out after you had eaten it?
Let me ask you, how many times have you put that into food and not told anybody? Thank you.
That's absolutely rude.
Well, I don't know why she gets off asking me something.
No,
like
it's
that.
Not rude. I'm telling you.
Ma'am, First of all, breast milk. Breast milk is meant to be consumed, and I think with the other
only,
that you're talking about, no, it isn't. Wow.
Not necessarily.
Talked a lot of women into it. But
hey, hold on. I want to watch where we're going with this conversation.
What?
What you just said.
A lot of babies cannot ingest.
Bam. The point is, some babies may be able to eat it, and some may not. But it is intended to be consumed. It's there for the nourishment and for the survival of the infant. The other liquids you're talking about is not.
How do you
Sherry,
know?
Thank you so much.
That's the point.
Thank you so much. Well, yeah, how do we know?
The two liquids that you mentioned, I have one is a waste product, the other is for the procreation of life, neither of which is the consumption of a food. I can't believe that you have me, you know, ma'am, you're starting to make me think what you have for lunch every day.
No, I eat regular food that goes to the FDA.
No, I doubt that. I doubt that. Not after what I just heard you say. I doubt that sincerely.
Okay, let's stop while we're ahead.
Has your milk for your ice cream been passed by the FDA?
Wait a minute. You got done telling me that a man's you-know-what and something else is perfectly fine as food, and you use it in soups and stews.
No, that's not what I said.
You pretty much said that.
How would you like it?
No, she didn't. All right, if somebody snuck it into a food. All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. It's Roger in St. Louis. Go ahead, Roger, on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to kind of steer this in a more respectable direction. I have food allergies. And this restaurateur needs to understand that a guy like me, if you said, oh, surprise, there's an ingredient, okay, I get extremely ill over certain things. I'm allergic to perfumes.
Wouldn't you say to me, excuse me, before you bring me that food, I want you to know I have food allergies?
Yeah.
Would you say that? All right.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure any person who has food allergies.
Okay.
No, I win. I win.
What do you mean you win?
No, no.
I think you're
bringing me ice cream, and then afterwards you say surprise, you wouldn't have gotten
away. If I brought you ice cream, would you not say to me, and you wouldn't have woke up for an hour.
And the cops would have taken me to jail because I'd have sat in jail. You're a jerk, and you need to understand that you don't pull that kind of stuff. You have a responsibility to the public, mister.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Hey.
Well, I'm serious.
He's not even going to tell me he's got a food allergy. He's going to sit there. Yeah, I bet you'd be offended by women's breast milk, wouldn't you? That'd really upset you. Guy like you.
Okay, I wouldn't have, personally, if you let me know ahead of time, I wouldn't have had a problem.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Yeah, get out of here. This isn't worth my breath.
No, you're not making sense.
That's why you're hanging up, because you know I kicked your ass. All 6'4" of you.
Hey. What is it with you?
Well, this guy came on and said... He came on...
What's the matter?
Well, he came on and he said... He said that he... had food allergies, okay?
Ted, if you're emotional about this...
Well, and then I said, okay, wouldn't you tell me that you did? And he said, yeah, and I beat him, and he kept talking.
Are you crying?
Well, why don't you do something to defend me?
The man made a statement, and I think what...
I heard what his statement was, but you didn't say anything.
The point is this, okay, and I think we have to stick to the point. The point is, you served that woman breast milk ice cream. It should have been something that you volunteered.
What about if she has a food allergy?
Whether she has a food allergy or whether she doesn't, as a restaurateur, as the owner of the business, don't you think you should tell people?
What am I supposed to say? What kind of cow the milk came out? If I serve somebody some ice cream... And I say it's ice cream. You want me to give them the ingredients? Oh, and by the way, this is ice cream. You know it's made from milk. And here's the kind of cow it came out of. And the cow was raised in New Jersey. And it ate this kind of grass. That's ridiculous. That guy that I just got done talking to is offended by the idea of nursing at a woman's breast. How's that feel?
I'm embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because that was childish.
What? What I just... Oh, man, you are... And I sponsor your program.
Yeah, you sponsor my program. I'm embarrassed for what you just said. I thought it was extremely childish. 877-876-7445. Here is Tom in Hesperia, California. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question, Ted. Where does this milk come from again?
What's that?
Where does it come... What brothers? Who offers the milk?
This is a dairy in Chicago, the Hassinger Brothers.
Okay, and you said it's a bunch of their friends that just come in and just supply the milk for the ice cream?
This was milk to be our people that they know.
Okay, and who regulates, you know, who regulates the people that they know? Who regulates that?
Like I thought FDA, we were living in a day and age. I thought we were living in a day and age where we had too much government.
No, we want to know about regulation. We're not going down that road. And don't cry, Ted. Don't cry.
No, that's exactly what the road we're going to go down. We're going to go down that road. I thought we lived in a day and age where there's too much government.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I said,
no, he did
you
not.
Said that a bunch of women get in a room and supply the breast milk. Who regulates to make sure that they're not getting paid? How do you know there's not a sign on the door that says, hey, donate breast milk? And who knows what these women are, whether they're on drugs or alcohol or not?
How do I know you're not a Republican that's all of a sudden taking cover under the FDA's umbrella?
I am a Republican. That's why I'm calling the Patriot Hotline.
So all of us, you're a Republican, and now you want regulating breast milk.
Ted, you're veering way off. The point is, you're serving this to someone that consumes it. You have no control over where the breast milk comes. Some brother's factory has some chicks walk in and donate milk.
Do you honestly think that's why that woman threw that plate of ice cream at me?
She threw it at you because you didn't say where it came from. You didn't say,
She threw it at me because she was an old, dried-up bag.
You're filing a lawsuit against this family, man, and you're coming out and you're saying all this stuff, and it's going to prejudice the hell out of your case.
My attorney knows I'm talking about this. Okay?
But everything you're saying on the show tonight, they're going to put into a countersuit, man.
she may be a dried, quote unquote, a dried up bag, but that but you didn't say, oh, by the way, this is breast milk. You said ice cream, enjoy, it's on the house.
Well, hey, let me ask you a question. Breast milk happens to be the latest thing in nutrition and in food. And we had this, and we served it. Okay,
no, no. So, too, it's essential for life. I understand that. The people should know about it. It shouldn't be known about, and you as a restaurateur should regulate. I know God forbid you use that word. Where this, where this comes from.
Well, why would you want regulation if I see? That's the thing that really...
Let's get where off does that, the milk man, come because from? The gentleman's right. There's nothing from... There's nothing... what was your question, sir?
You know, he asked me, where did it come from? Do you want me to say it a different way? It's women's breast milk.
Okay, all right, I understand that, but there's no one that said these women have been tested for drugs or alcohol. They're this or that or the other thing. You said it's a bunch of brothers that own this factory. This girls come in, they donate it. Now you're giving it away. You're finding the loophole.
These are families. These are families, and they are healthy. They're Midwest families, Midwest women.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I happen to know the Hassinger brothers very well. And secondly, if you've got a prejudice against big, fat women, which is probably what they are... I don't think you really are concerned at all, sir.
I have a prejudice about putting things in my body that I don't know where they come from. I have a prejudice against that. If I choose to go and smoke a cigarette or I choose to drink a beer, I'm choosing that. I don't choose to have ice cream.
Well, let me ask you, when you and your husband get together and talk about this...
Okay, what is that crack?
Wow.
I think you know what I mean.
So what has that got to do with anything?
Starting to cry.
I think he's prejudiced against women's breasts.
I love women's breasts. I love them to death. That doesn't mean I want that squirted in my coffee when I don't know the lady.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, thanks very much, man. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to laugh at that last line, even though
I'm a sponsor of this program, and I'm disgusted by you, and I'm disgusted by your engineer, who I hope dumped that. And
he dumps what he thinks he ought to dump, and not...
As a sponsor...
You're the guy that's selling or giving away or whatever you're doing women's breast milk.
Well, now I think I've heard it all. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you call the police and have me arrested and have me drugged behind a Jeep and beaten because I happen to think women's breast milk is a good thing. Please call the police. Have me thrown in. You ought to hear yourself.
No, you ought to hear yourself. You just sounded like a jackball again. Okay?
How long do you think I'm going to sponsor this portion of your program?
I got Dynapep. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on giving a woman breast milk ice cream. I mean, how funky is that, you know, if you don't tell her what it is first? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger next hour talking about Charlie Sheen.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted's of Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen, where we endeavor to be great hosts. And to come into my restaurant and physically assault me as that woman,
Can I make a suggestion?
What?
I would not, in the middle of a commercial, try to make these pitches that you're making on the show, you know?
You know what, Phil? I appreciate very much your suggestion, but I think a moment ago here, I think you showed your colors a little bit by talking to me. As you were saying that I was being rude to some woman who said that she puts a man's fluid into clam chowder I forget.
She never said anything of the sort. What is it with you, man?
What is it with me? She said she brought that up. I didn't.
Yeah, she did, but she didn't say she puts it in clam chowder.
Well, what do you think she does? She brings it up, oh, well. And I said, it's not edible. Or she goes, how do you know? Well, I can tell you, ma'am, if you're still listening, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't know. So, wow. Okay, I mean, can we...
All right, I'm just...
Are you stunned by how stupid I am?
No, I'm not stunned by how stupid you are, but I think that what you're saying here does not help your case in this lawsuit. 877-876-7445. Here is Jeremy in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
First, there's a reason why good restaurants give you a menu so that you can pick what you want and know exactly what ingredients are in what you're eating. So it's no wonder why Mr. Ted here has deliberately held off that information of being breast milk ice cream to give to the young lady, not the elderly. The other thing that when she assaulted him...
Can I ask you something? I asked her, would you like to have a delicious dessert?
It's not about a delicious dessert. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's exactly what you said earlier. You like breast milk. You don't know if she does or not, so give her the option to make that decision for herself.
Why didn't she say no?
That's the reason why she was upset. It had nothing to do with her being elderly and not being able to produce breast milk. That is not the first thought that went through her head. It's the fact that you assaulted her because you put something in her body that she did not choose to put in there.
I think it's interesting, sir, that you know her better than I do. I'm the one that she threw a whole dish of ice cream at.
And well, you said it wasn't a whole dish. Yeah, but you also said, Ted, it wasn't a whole dish of ice cream. You said it was she'd eaten all of it.
It was a curling silver dish that you said, and you deserved it because you assaulted her by putting something into her body that she did not choose to be there.
Wait a minute, but you don't know what you're talking about, young man. First of all, the woman said to me, what's in it? And I said, it's a surprise. And she goes, I like surprises.
Wow, you didn't tell me that.
Being this tough guy inside of a courtroom, you should know the term full disclosure. You should have given her the information ahead of time before allowing her to put something in her body.
We're not in a courtroom, we're in a restaurant. We're not in a court of law, we're in a restaurant.
The woman asked you how you don't want to see you inside of a courtroom. That's right. So therefore, you don't want to see me in the courtroom. No, you don't want to see me standing in front of you
after you've thrown a dish at me.
Your intelligence level is about the size of your shoe. So here's the reality. This guy's going to tell me the reality.
This ought to be good.
This is the reality. Your restaurant must not be doing that well for you to have to sue an elderly woman just because you were...
I'm not suing her. I'm suing her husband. And her husband owns one of the biggest post-production houses in L.A., so you don't know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Right.
Number two, nobody throws a dish at me in my own restaurant. And number two, if it had been you throwing a dish at me, you're just a big tough guy against an elderly woman.
Because had it been somebody else, you wouldn't be doing this right now. Because they have
she threw the dish at me. She made me have to be some kind of a clown.
She chose not to have.
Because you've had things in your body that you chose not to have, haven't you?
No.
Okay, Ted, why don't you grow up? Okay. Why don't you grow up?
Yeah, sure.
And again, this is what I argue with my 12-year-old little girl, because it's the same mentality. Because this gentleman here, obviously,
I guess he's never heard
of the mentality that the customer's always right, because he talks about
the customer's not always right.
Anybody else say
the customer's not always right. The customer's not always right. Sometimes
maybe,
the customer's
maybe if you were to shut your mouth and open your ears, you might learn something.
Like any place you eat, I'm sure they've got at least one customer that's a blithering idiot. And I've got another thing to say.
We're all out of time.
Let this guy go on.
That's it.
So, Big Mouth here, you know something, buddy? I hope you eat. Steak's on me. Come on up to Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry.